Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Hello and good morning, friends and faithful listeners. Today we're going to be discussing the last section of 1 Samuel 26 and finishing up this chapter. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because we're going to jump right in today. But before I do that, I'm going to go ahead and give a quick recap as to what's going on today. So as you guys remember from Wednesday, we talked about how Saul was once again pursuing David to try to kill him, even though only a couple chapters ago, Saul was super repentant, it seemed like, anyway. And he said to David that he was sorry and that David was so much better than he was, and that he was just going to go home and leave David alone. Well, it turned out that that didn't last very long. So Saul is back on the hunt for David, because Saul was a man who let his emotions guide him. So now David realizes that Saul is out to get him again and sent out spies to track Saul's location. So he realizes that Saul is camped nearby. And so he takes some of his men and he surrounds the camp, and he looks down and he sees that Saul is dead asleep in the middle of the camp. But what's really weird is that everybody else, all of Saul's 3,000 men that he brought with him, were asleep as well, which is super abnormal. So I think David realized that that was from God, and it said that it was, that God had put all of Saul's camp into this deep sleep. So David goes into the middle of a camp with this guy named Abishai. And Abishai is like, this is the perfect opportunity, David, for you to kill Saul. I mean, look at how asleep everybody is. Nobody will even know that you killed him. In fact, I will kill him for you so that you don't even have to do it. And David was like, no, I'm not going to do that. That would be against God. Instead, let's take Saul's spear and also this jug of water that is nearby Saul, and let's get out of Dodge. And that is what ended up happening. So today we're going to finish out the story and see how Saul responds. We'll be reading 1 Samuel 26, 13 through 25 today. Once again, grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea on this lovely Friday morning, and let's go ahead and read the Bible together. I'll be reading out of the WEB as usual. Then David went over to the other side and stood on top of the mountain far away, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, don't you answer, Abner? Then Abner answered, who are you who cries to the king? David said to Abner, aren't you a man? Who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not kept watch over your lord, the king? For one of the people came in to destroy the king, your lord. This isn't a good thing that you have done. As Yahweh lives, you are worthy to die, because you have not kept watch over your lord, Yahweh's anointed. Now see where the king's spear is, and the jar of water that was at his head. Saul recognized David's voice and said, is this your voice, my son David? David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. He said, why does my lord pursue his servant? For what have I done? What evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If it is so that Yahweh has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, they are cursed before Yahweh. For they have driven me out today, that I shouldn't cling to Yahweh's inheritance, saying, go serve other gods. Now therefore, don't let my blood fall to the earth away from the presence of Yahweh. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will do no more harm to you, because my life was precious in your eyes today. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. David answered, behold the spear, O king. Then let one of the young men come over and get it. Yahweh will render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, because Yahweh delivered you into my hand today, and I wouldn't stretch out my hand against Yahweh's anointed. Behold, as your life was respected today in my eyes, so let my life be respected in Yahweh's eyes, and let him deliver me out of all oppression. Then Saul said to David, you are blessed, my son David. You will both do mightily and will surely prevail. So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place. Okay, so David has just fleed from the camp of Saul. Completely undetected, everybody was dead asleep because this sleep was from Yahweh. So David gets out of the middle of the camp, and it says that he goes a great distance away, which is very understandable considering the fact that Saul had 3,000 men trying to hunt and kill David for no reason, by the way. So David goes a far distance away to the top of a mountain is what it says. Because remember that Saul had made his camp like kind of in the middle of the mountains and also the middle of all of his army. So David goes to a place where his voice would echo out so that Saul and all of the army would be able to hear him. So he goes to the top of the mountain. And so he calls out. And this was the middle of the night also, don't forget. So nobody would have been able to see David either. So he calls out, and here is what he says. David cried to all the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Don't you answer Abner?" I just love this because Abner was supposed to be the commander of Saul's army. David had once had that role, by the way, but Abner took it over. Once David became a fugitive and Saul had it out for him, Abner took over as the commander of Saul's army. So David immediately makes fun of Abner. And he's like, "Don't you answer, Abner? Why are you asleep, Abner?" And so Abner wakes up, and it sounds like the whole camp is starting to stir. And Abner answers, "Who are you who cries to the king?" So Abner has no clue. And it's probably possible that Abner had never even met David, actually. Because don't forget that it's been years since David had the role of commander in Saul's army. So Abner wakes up and he's like, "Who are you? That's crying down to the king. How dare you?" And so David doesn't answer that question. He says to Abner, "Aren't you a man?" I just love this. "Who is like you in all of Israel? Why have you not kept watch over your Lord, the king?" And of course, David knows that God put Abner into this deep sleep, but he's still going to make fun of Abner for not doing his job. He's like, "Aren't you supposed to be the man that is in charge of Saul's entire army, and yet you can't even do your one job, which is keeping watch at night?" And so he says, "Why have you not kept watch over your Lord, the king? For one of the people came in to destroy the king, your Lord." And I really like that David said this, because from my understanding of the text, it did not seem like David wanted to kill Saul at all. But Abishai, the guy who went with David, did want to kill Saul very, very much, actually, to the point where he was like, "Let me just do it. I'm going to take Saul's spear and I'm just going to, you know, plunge it into his head to the ground. And nobody will even know that it happened. We'll do it and leave." And so David mentions that, yes, somebody did go into Saul's camp in order to kill Saul, but it was not him. And he does not reveal that. It was probably wise of him to not reveal that, so that Saul has a little bit of fear of David also, so that maybe Saul doesn't come and try to attack David again, because David was not going to kill Saul. He was not going to do it. So he says, "Somebody came into camp to destroy the king, your Lord. This thing isn't good that you have done. As Yahweh lives, you are worthy to die because you have not kept watch over your Lord, Yahweh's anointed." So, man, he is just railing into Abner. He is railing him. "Now see where the king's spear is and the jar of water that was at his head." And so, of course, everybody's probably looking around to see where the spear is and where the jug of water is. And they realize that it's gone. But at this point in time, they didn't know who was saying all this stuff. They didn't know that it was David on the top of the mountain crying down to them. But Saul did. He figured it out. He realized it was David's voice. It says Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, my son, David?" I like that Saul always changes his language whenever he meets David, especially when he realizes that he lost. He always says, "Oh, my son, David." But then when he is, you know, talking to his servants about how much he wants to kill David, he calls David the son of Jesse. Like as an insult, because obviously David's family was not rich. So it's very interesting to see how Saul changes depending on the circumstances. So now he's suddenly calling David his own son, which is technically true because David was married to Saul's daughter, But anyway, David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." He says, "Why does my lord pursue his servant?" And notice that David's tone totally shifts. When he was talking to Abner, he was being snarky. He was being mean. He was like insulting him to his core. And now suddenly Saul is talking to him. And David turns extremely respectful, because David did have respect for the office of the king. And that is what the Bible tells us Christians to do, even if our, you know, presidents or kings or leaders are bad guys like Saul was. We still give the position the honor that is due. Though we don't have to, you know, trust every single word that the king says or whatever. Moving forward, though, if you want to hear more about that, actually, go back to, I'll link the episode where I talked about how Christians are supposed to treat leaders in the description of this episode. Okay, so David changes his tune and he's more respectful now to Saul. And he immediately asks Saul, "Why are you pursuing me? What have I done?" Saul was believing the lie that David was his enemy. And that's because Saul wanted to believe that lie. He was very jealous of David. He was very jealous that God was giving the kingdom to David. Saul knew that without a shadow of a doubt that David was going to be the next king. He knew it. And so that was why he was pursuing David. But David himself had done nothing wrong. In actuality, Saul was fighting against God and God's will by pursuing David. He might have thought that he was really fighting against David, but in actuality, Saul was just fighting against God. So David says, "What have I done? What evil is in my hand?" And of course, Saul can't answer any of these questions because David really hasn't done anything wrong, like at any point in time, against Saul or against Israel. So he says, "Please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If it is so that Yahweh has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering." So he says, "Look, if Yahweh has put this in your heart that you're supposed to be fighting against me, then by all means, fight against me. I will be an offering for Yahweh." That is what David is saying here. "But if it is other people, if it is men that are making you infuriated at me, then they're going to be judged. They are cursed before Yahweh because they have driven me out today that I shouldn't cling to Yahweh's inheritance, saying, 'Go serve other gods.'" And that is very true. David, being an Israelite, being from the tribe of Judah, had every right to his inheritance that God had given him. He had every right to it. And yet David wasn't even able to claim that right that God had given him. And people were trying to push him out of Israel. And this is destroying David's heart. Because here's what people are saying: "Go and serve other gods, live with other people who serve all of these other gods." And this is causing David great distress, because obviously he wants to have a community and wants to feel safe in his community. Nobody wants to feel unsafe in the country that they live in. And yet David obviously feels extremely unsafe in the country that he lives in. And people are just being mean to him left and right. Like, for example, Saul is being super mean, obviously. And then the Ziphites are being mean because they keep giving up David's location to Saul for whatever reason. And then Nabal in the last chapter was mean to David for no reason at all. It's like all of these people are just against David. And you can imagine how this is making David feel, that he can't feel safe in his own country, that he can't go worship God. He can't go to the temple. He can't celebrate the feasts. He can't do any of the things that brought him so much joy in the past. And he doesn't really want to move out of Israel, the place that he was raised at, the place that he has claim to, that he has a right to, just because he is an Israelite man. Now, later on, we're going to find out that David does move out of Israel, but we'll talk about that later. "Therefore, don't let my blood fall to the earth away from the presence of Yahweh. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains." So David would rather die in the land of Israel, is what he's telling Saul, than to go and live somewhere else and die there. At least this is what David feels in this moment. Once again, we'll talk about David leaving Israel. Okay, Then Saul said, after David says all of this, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes today. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Now, what's really interesting about this is that this seems a little bit different from the apology we saw Saul give David only a couple chapters ago, when David first spared Saul's life. This particular apology feels a little bit different because it seems like Saul doesn't have a lot of emotion with it. Like with the last apology, I think it even said that he had a lot of emotion. Actually, let me get there real quick and look at it again. Probably would have been wise for me to to open it up before I start the podcast. But anyway, okay, it says, yeah, okay, so going back to 1 Samuel 24, and this is just out of the NIV version, it says that Saul was moved with emotion, actually, when he realized David spared his life and apologizes to David. It says that Saul wept aloud in 1 Samuel 24 and then said, "You are more righteous than I. You have treated me well. I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be the king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands." So honestly, that apology seems pretty genuine. Like if Saul had said that apology and then never went out to try to find David again and try to kill David again, then we would probably think that Saul had repented and changed his mind, and that would have been the end of it. And perhaps Saul really did feel sorry in that moment, and he really did potentially have a change of heart, just knowing that David had spared his life, but it didn't last very long. However, going back to 1 Samuel 26, this apology that he gives David does not seem very emotional. It does not seem very genuine, honestly. Here's all Saul says: "I have sinned. Return, my son David. I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes today. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." So you can see the difference in those two apologies. Saul doesn't seem emotional during this one. He doesn't praise David very much at all. Instead, he just says, "Okay, you're right. I sinned. You can come home. I won't do you any more harm, because my life was precious in your eyes today. I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." I wonder if Saul did that, honestly, to save face in front of his men. Now, this is just my own personal opinion. Based upon what we see in scripture, we know that Saul was pretty worried about what other people thought of him. And so maybe all of these 3,000 men surrounding him, he was just saying this because he wanted to look good in front of all of these people. And so he admits that he sinned. But unfortunately, it does not seem like Saul's heart is really changed. But he tells David to actually return home. He says, "David, come home. I'm not going to hurt you any longer." So David responds to Saul, "You can have your spear back. Let one of the young men come over and get it." Then he says in verse 23, "Yahweh will render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, because Yahweh delivered you into my hand today, and I wouldn't stretch out my hand against Yahweh's anointed." So basically, he says, God is going to give every man what they are due, insinuating that God was going to punish King Saul one day. He says, "Behold, as your life was respected today in my eyes, so let my life be respected in Yahweh's eyes, and let him deliver me out of all oppression." So he doesn't really accept Saul's apology, and he certainly does not accept Saul's invitation for David to come back home. David doesn't accept that. Instead, he says, "You have done me evil. God will deliver me." That is all David says here. He says, you can have your spear back, and I'm out of here. And God is going to give you what you deserve. So Saul says to David, "You are blessed, my son David. You will do mightily and will surely prevail." So David went his way and Saul returned to his place. So yeah, David does not accept that invitation to go home because David realizes, possibly from that apology, honestly, that Saul was never going to change. This might have been the time when he truly realizes it, that Saul is never going to stop trying to kill him to the day that Saul dies. Faithful listeners, we only have a few more chapters in the book of 1 Samuel before we move into 2 Samuel. So that's going to be really exciting, but I am not switching seasons. When we move into 2 Samuel, it's still going to be season 7, just to let you guys know. Now, guys, if you have anything that you want me to pray for, then contact me. You're going to find my contact information listed in the description of this episode. And yes, I do read all of my emails and I try to respond to all of them. Sometimes I can't always, but if you have a prayer request, send it my way. I will read it. I will jot you down in my little prayer journal. But faithful listeners, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Friday and that you are blessed. I'll see you on Monday for another episode out of 1 Samuel. Until then, happy listening and God bless.